What a strange noise you just made.
It sounded like a...
I was going to play the new theme song, but I don't remember the words.
If aspect ratio is something that you like to know...
That's a different show altogether that we don't do anymore.
Yeah.
If you don't like widescreen...
And you only like widescreen.
And you only like widescreen...
And you're more than talking when you're at a show. And you can't abide texting.
And my friend Brad is...
I want to go to karaoke with you.
Talking movies,
but for them to turn the music down really, really low, so it's just, and they don't give you the words.
It's just me
it's
being
just
like,
shout through the heart. And yeah, but the song is actually Hot for Teacher by Van Halen.
You know,
you're just singing that on top of it.
The music video for Hot for Teacher is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. Like, there's this weird opening sequence where, like,
sorry.
There's this. When did Bill come back?
It's not back.
You got it in Kensington, didn't you?
I went to Freak Lunchbox on 17th and got a case of Vanilla Coke.
Oh my goodness. Boo! Vanilla Coke is the greatest.
Maybe, I don't know. I just saw Vanilla Coke in the window.
I was telling a story about the music video for Hot for Teacher. Like at the beginning of the video, there's this little kid named Waldo. And it's like a black, weird black and white thing. And his mom's like, now Waldo, I want you to try and make some friends today. And she's like combing his eyebrows. And then he talks, but like his voice isn't his. It's like David Lee Roth's voice dubbed over. Like, oh, mom, you know I'm not like other guys. I'm nervous and my socks are too loose. So then it shows me he's about to get on the bus and the bus door opens and Eddie Van Halen is the bus driver, looks over and goes, sit down, Waldo.
And then he's like,
the song starts, but it's like the weirdest video ever. But I like that though.
He takes out a power drill and just like,
I also really like this white cheddar popcorn I have going on here.
Oh, that stuff's good.
It's real good.
I had a kernel. That's good.
It gives me the poops.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had the poops all day.
Ooh.
My stomach has just been in ruins.
If we stop recording for 20 minutes, you'll know why. 20 minutes, more like 20 hours. Who's on first? Poop in the toilet.
What? I don't know. What an unfortunate baseball name.
It was a young W.C. Fields.
And they're stealing second is poop on the toilet. No, no.
Poop on the toilet. Yeah. You
missed.
Hey, man. Do you see a lot of stolen bases in professional baseball?
Yeah. Depending on what team you watch, some teams...
Now, can
like
you steal home? Is that a thing you're allowed to do?
Yeah, there's Anthony Ghost, who's... He doesn't play
he's
for the
ghost?
Blue Jays, but he's like a prospect. He's a center fielder prospect. I think it was this year or last year, in spring training, stole second, third, and home.
Wow.
Like, in three consecutive pitches
wow.
to win the game in trainings. Like, and he's still not on the team, and he's awesome.
Wow.
He just can't really hit much, but he can run really fast. But yeah, and I mean, I steal home all the time.
Was
it's
there,
called
wasn't
rape.
There like a situation?
Whoa!
Sorry.
You.
I'm not
can
a rapist.
Can we go one episode of a rape joke?
No.
Suck.
I just, it was there for the taking. Oh my goodness.
Whoa!
That one wasn't even intentional.
She was asking for it.
That wasn't intentional.
Well, before one of us incriminates ourselves any further, I should start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, August the 31st.
August 1st.
July the 31st.
My birthday's in like 2 weeks, or a week.
Yay!
My birthday's next Friday.
Good.
Woohoo!
Happy birthday. July the 31st. July the 31st. My name is Joey G. With me there today is Robbie G.
Hello!
Ryan F.
Hi!
How you guys doing?
Ryan G.
I'm doing
Ryan.
Well.
I'm good.
I read a lot of comics.
Did you get a lot of books this week?
Not a lot of books, but I got a lot of annuals.
That's like my biggest week is that.
Yeah. I had two annuals, but I haven't actually read either of them.
I read two out of the three. I haven't read the Flash annual, the Fashionual.
I'm so far behind.
I read the Animanual, and I read the Batmanual.
Batmanual.
The Animanual. The Batmanual was okay. It wasn't that good. It was like a standalone kind of cool Arkham City story, or Arkham Asylum story, written by Marguerite Bennett. It was fun. It was cool, and the art was kind of cool too.
It was very different though.
Was it
all just one story, or was there more than one story in it?
No, it was just one story. It went on a little bit.
Well, how does that tie in with Zero Year then?
That doesn't. Not really. It's just like
the front cover says Zero Year on it.
Well, it's like
the front cover
him
of everything
going,
would say Zero Year on it.
They
really could get away with it.
Was Scott Snyder even involved in the comic?
He helped with some of the plotting I read on Twitter, but ultimately,
so really, they put his name on the cover so that Joey would buy it, even though he didn't want it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not bad. It was fine.
Yeah, comedy okay. Bang Batman.
And there, yeah, and there's a lot of like I think there's a. You know what? I don't even really remember. Like, it's kind of a forgettable comic. Like, it was good, but I totally, like, it was. I read it, I had fun, and now I don't even remember what it was about.
I don't think I want a $4.99 comic to be forgettable.
The Animanual had Travel Foreman back on it, which was awesome.
Neat.
And it was pretty good. It was nice to see Travel Foreman back on Animanual. On Adam and Ann.
I've only read one issue of that since Rotworld.
I like where it is. I think it's getting back to being a cool series. This was a really fun one-shot story that was kind of charting like really early in Animal Man's superhero, in his, you know, role. There's a lot of I don't know. I liked it, and I think Travel Foreman did a really great job, and I think it's an interesting enough story and compelling enough character development by Jeff Lemire in it that I don't really want to complain about it. There were bits where I felt like certain sequences didn't need to be double pages and certain sequences didn't need to be full pages. He really rocks the full page in this. Like, out of maybe the 32 pages, I think 6 or 7 of them are just full pages.
Quick
just
question.
Just like big poster page kind of thing.
I just want to see how many inkers are in this. Cause
how many
like
what, sorry?
I'm not really a big fan of that style of...
Jeff Lemire's been doing it. Jeff Lemire's been doing it a lot lately, especially in Animal Man, and it kind of seems like he's... It's stretching out
it's
story that doesn't
like,
really need to be stretched out.
Pages, like, why?
Yeah, it's kind of... It feels that way reading through it. Like, it was good, but I felt like this story really could have been delivered in about 10 pages less. Because it wasn't very dense. It was pretty... It was spread kind of thin. But it was a good enough story that I thought it was worth $5. It was good.
It looks like there's like 7 different inkers.
Yeah, there's some bits throughout this that are a little inconsistent with Foreman's art. But... Let's see.
Well, it's probably because they gave him like a week, you know.
Oh, he did his own inking.
Yeah.
He did his own inking. Yeah, there's some bits that are very, very
blocky,
smudgy.
Yeah,
kind of Doug Monkey style smudgy.
Monkey.
Like, look at that, like,
yeah,
like I didn't know Animal Man
it's
was
not my,
black.
Yeah, it's not my like this. There's a page that's almost out of focus even. This isn't Travel Foreman.
Maybe
best
Animal
work,
Man is out of focus. Maybe that's his power.
Ooh.
Maybe
like
he's,
this face
maybe
bit?
He's channeling the red to be Bigfoot. Bigfoot's blurry.
Yeah, I don't know. Parts of it aren't. There's some pages that really aren't very crisp. They're cool concepts, but they're not. They're kind of smudged. This isn't Travel Foreman's best stuff, but it's, you know, it's still Travel Foreman. It's still really good. So So I guess that was, I started us off, guys, and then the rest of these books I don't have anything to say about.
That's fine.
Which books? I just want
X-Men and Uncanny X-Men are both really cool.
Yeah, I've heard.
Uncanny X-Men has Chris Bacallo, so even if the story sucked, I would still flip through it. I love Chris Bacallo. Chris Bacciolo! He's a bachelor. The bachelor.
The bachelorette.
Hey, so
that's
I'll tell you something that I got. It's not a comic.
Chlamydia.
It is comic related. I got chlamydia from Kurt Busiek.
That's
weird. No, I didn't do that. I've never even met Kurt Busiek. I bet you he doesn't have chlamydia. He seems like he'd be a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Kurt Busiek once.
What?
Look at you.
At Emerald City, remember? He was in the hall, and then he walked away somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
He was at Emerald... Oh, that was before I'd read any
Kurt
Busiek.
I mean, you were aware of Kurt Busiek.
Yeah, I'd never read any of his stuff, and now
he was sitting right beside Bill William.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Bill William.
And across from Matt Wagner, who looks a bit like him as well.
That's weird.
Anyway, but... this week saw the release of a new Criterion Collection edition of Guillermo del Toro's film The Devil's Backbone, which is a fucking fantastic and scary as shit movie.
Is that a Mike Mignola front cover?
It is not. It is, in fact, a Guy Davis front cover. Guy Davis of BPRD fame, connected to Mike Mignola. And Mike Mignola did the cover art for the other Criterion Blu-ray release of a Guillermo del Toro film for Kronos. So it's all... part of the family.
That's
he
super
made
Pacific
cool.
Rim.
Yeah. Sean Phillips has two Criterion covers, too.
For what?
Blast of Silence, which is a really good crime movie, and 12 Angry Men.
You gave me a copy of 12 Angry Men.
Yeah, but the one I have has a Sean Phillips cover.
Well,
I'll show them.
I have a Sean Phillips cover.
Sean Phillips is putting out a book of Dynamite.
Is he?
Well, it's
I
just
like
the art of Sean Phillips as released by Dynamite.
Ah.
I kind of want to get it. It's probably a lot of fatality.
It's just
covers.
Him drawing like sticks of dynamite with different like shadows. Just at different times of day.
It's like the front cover to the Phantom Menace. It's just a stick of dynamite.
Yeah, somebody really needs
that was really bad.
I've had a day, boys. I've had
a day, yeah. You're getting fucked over by a car guy.
Yeah, and then I thought I was going to get paid, but I didn't get paid, so then I had to use my $10 of iTunes credit to buy books. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I was just told the other day, oh yeah, your check will be here tomorrow. And then I thought, but today's the first.
It means it don't want to be out if we aren't public.
That's what I figured.
That's too bad.
You should fucking quit.
So I didn't actually go pick up my books. I read three books on Comixology.
This is so good.
I wanted to be honest and not
Comix Honesty.
Things.
Well,
so I've double paid for two books this week.
Oh, Comix Honesty with Comixology.
I'm going to talk about a book, and I want to talk about it first because I'm afraid if Rob talks about it first, I'll sound like a wet blanket when I don't like it as much as he does. It was Adventures of Superman number 3 by Matt Kent and Steven Segovia, and it was good. It was good. Matt Kent does a good Superman. He's a little cold as a Superman, the focus of the story is more on Superman's, a day in the life of Superman having to go through all this crazy stuff with the speed of sound and saving all these civilizations and all this and all that kind of jazz, you know, and just like how difficult it probably is to be Superman and yet how good he is at it. And so that, the A story I actually found pretty satisfying, if a little bit cold, but you know, it's a one-shot story about Superman saving the day, so it was good. But he has this device going in the bottom of each page where there's a B story of Lois Lane is talking to Lex Luthor. And it doesn't really work for me.
No?
No, it...
I dug that.
I think it could have worked better if the art was a bit more uniform. Like, if they actually had, a banner-sized panel on the bottom of each page. And so if the panel sizes were constant, it might work better for me. But the fact that it's... Every page has a different layout for that part of the story. I found it kind of jarring.
It's more just themed color-wise. It's very
yeah,
purple.
But it's very... Or maybe if it had been spread out, but actually I really think that it was... It interrupted the flow of the story, I found. I didn't think it actually needed to be there. I didn't get enough out of it to justify it derailing the main... the narrative as much as it did, I felt. You know? Because I kept thinking it was going to go somewhere, and it actually didn't. And so I found it kind of distracting. It's by no means a bad Superman comic. It's better than most Superman comics DC's put out in the last few years. And I think Matt Kent has a cool grasp on Superman. But, that whole B story and the banner panels on the bottom of each page really, I found kind of distracting and frustrating.
I enjoyed them. I can see why you would find them frustrating. They are a little... they're inconsistent in size.
You know, it's a good idea. I just don't think the execution was very good.
I like how it was running parallel to the Superman story because it's both Superman doing what he does best and Lois Lane doing what she does best, and then at the very end they meet up together for the reason why,
and
they do
what
they do
best. It's just Lois Lane being smug and saying that Lex Luthor's going to be a dick. She doesn't do any detective work. She just sort of listens to Lex for a while and doesn't hear a monologue about how Lex Luthor's a shithead. She doesn't really do any detective work.
Well, she's not Batman.
No, but she's supposed to be an investigative journalist.
I don't know.
It was fine. It wasn't like it was bad characterization. It was just kind of... I don't know. It felt like it didn't really go anywhere and just really messed up the flow of the rest of the narrative.
I found it pretty simple to follow along with. I kind of dug it.
It's not like I was confused.
I liked the way that it was...
It certainly didn't confuse me at all. I could still follow the story, but it just really killed the momentum of each Superman page to jump back into this very slow, ultimately unnecessary conversation between Lois and Lex Luthor. And maybe if they had had a uniform panel strip on the bottom, the same size in each one, or maybe if it had been done sort of like a comic strip, like an old newspaper strip style, kind of like what Matt Kent does in things like My Management.
Yeah.
That might have worked a little bit better. I just think that it was a cool idea that the execution didn't really work for me. But I liked the story and I liked Steven Segovia's pencils, so... Hmm. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Side note. Mr. Miracle showing up in it. I don't know.
Just being
Superman does... What?
He's just sort of in a panel, but he doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, no, but it was still cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
As a side note,
I loved this book. I thought it was excellent. I really liked getting to see so many different things that Superman does just in one day. It's written totally like a Kurt Busiek book. Kurt Busiek did a lot of that stuff where, like,
but
in one panel of a show. I don't agree with that.
But usually when Superman's doing stuff, he's, like, also making time for really small, like, kitten from a tree kind of a things, where this one's all just, like, saving the world from apocalyptic scenarios one after the other. It was very cool, but that's why I'm saying it had, like, a very cold touch to it.
I guess.
As a side note, Dazzler.
You just pointed
in Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, Dazzler. She's in charge of S.W.O.R.D. now or something? Or
S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's in S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, cool.
Dazzler, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I almost want to buy that book now because I'm like, Dazzler's in?
Why do you like Dazzler so much?
Dazzler's awesome.
Dazzler's rad.
Why is Dazzler because awesome?
Of Extreme X-Men, really.
Okay. Yeah, because she was the main character in that book.
So I don't even really know. I just know that she's in Uncanny X-Men as one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
And she's awesome.
Awesome!
Her and Eddie Van Halen are basically the same person, but Dazzler and Eddie Van Halen. They both hurt people with their guitar licks. Yeah. But Dazzler's got boobs. And also not real.
Not real boobs?
Eddie Van Halen's pretty old.
Genosha,
might have Dazzler's boobs aren't real? No.
Genosha. Your shiny machine. Sentinels.
When Rob was in a hardcore band, I always wanted you guys to cover Panama or Jump. One of the two.
We did.
Might as well. Bam. Go ahead.
I would
Bamf.
Listen to that.
I like Bamf. I've been there.
Not Bamf. Bamf.
I'm going to talk about it.
Bamf.
Bamf.
Badass motherfucker.
Oh, I was like Bamf National Park.
No, that's Bamf. I'm talking about Bamf.
Yeah. It's not Ryan. It's Ryan. Have you heard that ever?
Yeah.
Ryan Sandberg, it's like R-Y-N-E is his name, so it's Ryan, but he's like, it's not Ryan, it's Ryan. It's just really funny clip. It's always
this?
On the Jim Rome show.
Oh.
He always plays it where he's like, it's not Ryan, it's Ryan. I love Jim
Rome. Do you ever listen to the Sklar Brothers?
They host Rome show occasionally.
Yeah.
I don't like them as much. I really like when Jay Moore hosts that show, actually.
Jay Moore's funny about sports.
He talks about sports. Yeah,
he's a really good impressionist too.
Yeah, he's really
Van
good.
Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
100%.
They cut
but,
off
his
hair.
The Sklar Brothers are okay. But,
yeah.
Or did you just make that out?
No, he's an impressionist, man. He did impressions all the time.
Money.
You don't really know, do you?
He did impressions of a good painter.
He's
an impressionist.
I can do impressions of Ralph Garman.
He was a post-impressionist painter. Post-impressionist idiot.
He impersonates posts.
People from Phoenix are Phoenicians.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what impressionist means, much less post-impressionist.
Isn't it just based on you sit somewhere and you look at an object and you just draw that object. You paint that object that's in front of you.
So he's a painter.
Isn't that just impressionist?
So he's a painter. Like every other painter, they're fucking painters.
Well,
no. When Steven Segovia drew fucking Superman, he wasn't staring at Superman while bullets flew by him.
But he fucking painted.
That was from
it.
His imagination.
Okay, he didn't even paint it. He just drew it. He's a drawer.
Oh, God.
Okay, so here's the thing. Impressionism, painting characteristics include relatively small, thin, yet visible brush strokes.
I was close.
Open composition, emphasis on accurate depiction of light and its changing qualities. Ordinary subject matter, inclusion of movement as a crucial element of human perception and experience, and unusual visual angles. Now, post-impressionism extended impressionism while rejecting its limitations. They continued to use vivid colors, often thick applications of paint and real-life subject matter, but they were more inclined to emphasize geometric forms, to distort form for expressive effect, and to use unnatural or arbitrary color. So they're like almost like a hyper-reality, like a heightened reality version of impressionism.
So he painted.
Honestly, whenever it's post something, I get confused. Like Elvis Costello is classified as post-punk.
What does that mean?
I think it just means he plays...
He made music after punk?
I think it
punk?
Means he plays, like, new wave rock music that is largely inspired by first wave punk. Like, you can hear the influence of first wave punk in his first few albums.
Yeah.
But that you could also say the same thing about most new wave.
A lot of my favorite bands are called post-rock bands, but they just... That means they're ambient and there's no words, which doesn't make sense to me. Like, Mogwai
is
post-rock.
Like,
after rock came Mogwai.
Post things are like...
Frago rock.
Post Mogwai is Gremlin.
Post Rock is the post
Rock. Right,
get it
out.
There
you go.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's a good thing. I'm fairly sure it's not fully clicking. Is that from Gremlins? No.
Yeah, Mogwai. Yeah. That's what they are. That's what they are before the Gremlins.
Okay, so I get it. Post-rock music is characterized by influence and use of instruments commonly associated with rock, but using rhythms and rhythms not traditionally found in rock. And using guitars more as facilitators of timbre and texture rather than melodic.
I was in a hardcore band that people called melodic hardcore because there were notes. And pretty much, I was in a band that was called post-hardcore instead of hardcore because there was math.
See, that's the thing. We just like to come up with as many possible categories. Yeah. Like,
also, in fairness,
But it's useful to have stupid. It is useful to have those incredibly stupid, pointless labels that no one can understand because it makes it a lot easier to know what kind of stuff you want to listen to. Like, if you find a band that you like and then find all the ridiculous tags that they give it, then you can at least search those other tags for other things.
No, I like that.
Because it's impossible for someone, when someone says, hey, what does Mumford & Sons sound like? And you're just like, yeah, they're in...
folk.
It's like, yeah, that's not like folk. Oh, it's like Woody Guthrie? No. More like Woody Guthrie if he had like a bunch of banjos but was really into Death Cab for Cutie. That's how Mumford sounds to me. It's like banjos were really into
it. Sounds
not like Death Cab, but with that kind of indie rock.
It sounds like Woody Guthrie if he shopped at Urban Outfitters.
Just Death Cab for Cutie is like my go-to band for like a specific feel of indie rock sound.
Sleep.
Like, not Sleep. Sleep is like Dope Smoker, isn't it?
Oh,
I mean, what you do at night, guys.
You mean sleepy?
Yeah, that's what Death Cab for Cutie and Iron and Wine make me want to be asleep.
Well, because Death Cab for Cutie is a little bit more like up-tempo.
Sometimes.
A little rockier.
It's just very, very sleepy.
See, for me, sleepy is like, what's that shitty band? The Buena Vista?
Fish.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Fuck you. No, the one that, show that they called,
Van Halen.
They're really shitty. You had a bunch of their albums.
Broken Social Scene.
They're
one of the worst bands ever. Yeah. I had one of their albums.
We had at least two. Because I remember I was ripping a bunch of new CDs once, and I was just like, oh, these are bands I've never listened to. And I got through like three songs, and I was like, fuck everything about
this. I realize this question is doomed right now. Are they the band that plays the song for the Blue Jays commercials this year? That I was
I totally know that.
I was bitching about it on Twitter earlier this year, and I was like, oh, maybe. No, that might have been Metric.
Oh.
And it's song that's like... It's the one that's like Stadium Love, and then it just goes.
Is it a girl vocalist?
Yeah,
it's
and it's the worst song.
Does it sound like the girl who sang in Scott Pilgrim as when?
Possibly, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I actually like my first, but
it just see like on your internet machine. Just see if Stadium Love is a Metric song, because if it is. Fuck Metric.
It is.
Fuck Metric. Oh,
the Metric system.
They ruined baseball.
Metric's album is really good.
I disagree, and I've never
heard
it.
Disco. Dead post-punk.
You know
dead
what?
Post-hardcore.
I think I've seen Metric before.
Would you like... You know do you hear that? My God. The door's creaking. Oh my God, there's someone at the door. There's someone at the door. Just Mr. Hurley. It's Mr. Whirly, the landlord.
Mr. Hurley Whirly?
Mr.
Hurley Whirly. Your landlord?
Hello, Mr. Hurley Whirly.
Hey, Mr. Hurley Whirly.
That's a really nice neck beard you got
sing,
going
sing
on,
Mr.
Hurley. To the tune of Mr. Crowley.
Mr. Hurley Whirly. Bam, bam, bam.
Hello, it's me, Mr. Hurley Whirly. I came over to get my neck beard shaver.
Oh, I thought you were here for the rent.
Oh, no, you can have that for me in the next day, a week,
but
a month.
But I also have to shave your neck beard?
Well, preferably sooner than later.
So, wait, do I still have to pay rent if I shave your neck beard?
Well, I would prefer it, but, you know, if you're a little short, then you can make it up by making my neck beard short.
Hey,
than it typically
is. I got this. I'm Mr. Hurley's bodyguard, Big Mo.
So, Mr. Hurley
Hurley Merley Mo.
I wanted to say Big Mo.
Why
did
you are?
I don't know.
Oh, what do you got going on here? Some sort of piddle cost? A little piddly potty costy?
Yeah.
I got one of them.
Please don't say cost.
A piddly posty cost.
It's a potty
cost. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You guys are talking in...
Hi,
Mrs. Hurley Whirly. Come here with your neck beard. Let's shake neck beards.
If you don't mind, we're going to get back to our show, but I'll get you the rent and my razor.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll be in the closet if you're looking for me.
Big Mo approves. All right,
thanks, Mr. Hurley.
Your fucking landlord is a weird, hairy man. And hairy in all the wrong places.
Yeah, but he's really friendly. I mean, it's weird that he just kind of walks in a lot, but he's a friendly guy.
But that Big Mo is a hell of a guy.
Do you guys have a lint? Like you guys got a lint roller?
Actually,
covered?
We do, yeah. It's over by the humidor.
Okay, I got some hairs, unwanted hairs that have fallen out of my ass crack.
It seems like hair is like the primary concern of yours.
Well, you know, that's why I became a landlord. But that's neither here nor there.
You became a landlord because of your preoccupation with hair?
No, it's because... well, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, neither. Oh, I see.
I did a pun. And
that was good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go back into the closet.
Oh, hi, Big Mo. Hi, he's got hair.
Big Mo sounds a lot like Ryan, don't you think, Greg?
Yeah.
I don't sound like Ryan, you jab turkey.
Which one was that?
That was Big Mo. Okay. I'm Big Mo.
Big Mo, can you go back in the closet with Mr. Hurley? Really?
Mo, come here. I need you.
Yeah.
I need your recommendation.
All right.
How to bend
slippery.
Over when I need to remove my ass hair.
All right.
Bye, all right. Big Mo.
Anyway, let's, you know how I sometimes like to read news around the top 10?
Can we do these? Because
them?
I don't have anything to talk about this.
Oh,
week.
You want
to
do this first?
No, I do. I like barely anything.
I like to read them because they're usually pretty stupid. So, this is called 10 Easy Ways to Piss Off a Comic Book Reader. So let's see how many of these are like insulting or just stupid. Number 10, continuity errors / retcons.
Don't care.
So that's a good way to piss off. That's a good way to piss off idiots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
The second you said continuity,
what's
I was like,
example?
Whatever. The second you said continuity.
See, blah, blah. So apparently fans can be forgiving of a little glitches, like when Martian Manhunter's story about being a Justice League member suddenly changed. Or when Batman's former Robin, Tim Drake, was no longer called Robin, but was now called Red Robin. Okay, but the bigger problems arise when comic writers get a little wild with their explanations of continuity glitches. Okay, so the big one they're talking about is the Zorn issue. Which, to be fair, that Zorn thing was kind of stupid. When Zorn turned out to not be Zorn after all, Zorn was Magneto all along. And then later on, in a different run after Morrison, they reintroduced a character who was Zorn again, and he was Zorn's like twin brother.
Oh yeah, I remember when Morrison did that, actually.
So then like eventually it turns out that it was like Zorn's brother pretending to be Magneto, pretending to be Zorn, and it got a little silly. But I don't think it pissed me off. I just went, you know what, this is a comic book. This should be called 10 Easy Ways to Piss Off a Moron.
And we're not even on the 9 yet.
I know. Number 9, manga. What?
What?
I don't get it.
Well,
apparently you can piss off comic book fans by saying manga or like mentioning... Manga... Okay, that's really stupid because manga is a fucking comic book.
It's comic books from somewhere else instead of North America. What?
As one blogger recently put it, Marvel Mangaverse made me drop the company altogether for years and I still haven't actually forgiven them.
What?
Fucking idiot.
That guy
Who
holds,
is that,
that
guy?
That guy holds the wrong kind of grudges.
What a stupid thing. What a stupid fuck.
As a professional,
you know,
grudge holder.
Some of the greatest comics of all time are manga, so
yeah,
fuck this guy. Fuck this clown. Alright, so far, Newsarama, you're stupid. And the people who actually do get pissed off are even stupider. Number 8, changing a character for the film. People do get really tight about that. Do you care?
You know what?
And they change it for a movie?
The picture
they're
here...
They're talking about the Mandarin here. I haven't seen Iron Man 3, though.
Have you not?
No.
What they do with the Mandarin, which people hated,
I
thought
it
was incredible. Like, and it's hilarious and it's awesome and it's amazing. Because Ben Kingsley's great, but sorry.
Well, no, I kept trying to interrupt you. What about with what they did with Deadpool?
That one was just kind of a shitty character. It's just a shitty movie.
The first 10 minutes, the characterization of Deadpool's pretty good. Like, he's running around being the merc with the mouth, and they turn into, like, a zombie
They take the merc with the mouth away, and it's
they remove his mouth, and he becomes like a zombie.
That's what I heard,
It's really weird.
And then he's just like, it's so dumb.
That just seems retarded. Just call it someone else.
I'm not upset that they changed the character. I'm upset that that movie fucking sucked.
Yeah.
I think it's more, like, this stuff doesn't make me mad at all, because I do not give a fuck about comic book movies, but...
Honestly, the Mandarin thing it's great. That was my favorite part of that movie.
Although, you know what?
And that's a
Maybe
great
they're
movie.
Right, because didn't I last week spend like 10 minutes yelling about how wrong
Superman.
The character of Superman was in that movie?
I was about to say,
okay.
I kind of felt that about Superman, but...
See, I don't care that they got Superman wrong. I just, the more I think about it, the more I dislike that movie because there's no fun in that movie in general. I don't care if it's Superman or what. Even Batman had more fun.
Yeah, Batman at least had occasional,
Batman 3 had
smiles
Bane.
And
like,
jokes.
So that would happen.
Oh.
Hello out there in TV land.
Oh, hello, Bane. How are you? Do you have your rent for me?
No one cared who I was until I put on a diaper.
Ah!
Anyway,
so
perhaps he's wondering why you would
so number
shoot
eight was actually legit.
Buying him out of a
legit.
Plane.
Yo, it was legit.
Number seven, comics that preach. So they're talking about
preacher.
Okay, well that's fucking bullshit. Like comics that take an issue and explore it from a character's point of view. So they're talking about things like when Spider-Man fought substance abuse in a comic called Amazing Spider-Man
Fight. It's the same attitude
abuse.
Where people are like, I hate it when musicians are singing about something. It's like, get your politics out of my face. It's like, well,
fuck you.
Like,
don't listen
it's
to
their
thing,
art.
Right?
They can say whatever the
yeah,
fuck
then
they want.
Then people don't like punk music.
Like, what's
but
the
like,
point? I don't know.
But
to say
like,
that there's no business.
Same thing
was
like universe. Remember DC Universe Decisions, where it was superheroes talking about politics, and there was like when Barack Obama showed up in Spider-Man, stuff like that. But at the same time, some of the best comics of all time, in particular Spider-Man, have dealt with like Harry Osborn's addiction to like heroin. Also, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, that whole original run with Neil
yeah.
Adams and Jerry and Denny O'Neill, all issue comics, really good.
I mean, most art is.
Yeah.
Just a metaphor for an issue anyway. So I don't... Unless, you know, except like Big Brother. I mean, what the fuck?
Like the know. Show Big Brother?
Yeah. Number six
isn't there
is...
like a really racist girl that got kicked off of Big Brother?
She didn't get kicked off. She's still on the show.
Really?
We don't need to talk about the fact that I watched Big Brother, guys. Let's stop.
She,
no.
Can yeah, you, my respect for you is plummeting.
I just want... Let's bomb that house.
I hate myself for doing it.
Sorry. I've read the thing she said and I'm just like, fuck her.
Yeah,
it makes me really mad.
Super racist.
So now I'm preaching.
The only person
I saw
in the world
that said like racist girl on Big Brother, and I was just like, I'm gonna go on with my life. And
see
so
the
worst
racist
thing,
girl being watched by Big
the
Brother.
The only
though.
Thing that's worse than that girl being on that show is the fact that I actually watch it once a week. Okay, let's move on.
I watch wrestling once a week, so but
you're,
wrestling's
no,
awesome.
Wrestling is not Marvel's entertainment. Wrestling is true performance art. Anyway, Unexplained Changes is number six. So it's broad, but it's more just see that one I don't agree with because comic fans do get pissed off, but it's because they're impatient. So they, something has changed, or something is different, and they don't know exactly why yet, and they flip out.
They're following the wrong kind of medium.
Like, I don't like it so much when they change a bunch of stuff for no reason and then never explain it. If it's a situation where they're trying to pretend like the shared universe matters. But if they're doing what I want them to do and just saying, this isn't a different part of the world, who cares? Then I'm fine with it. But I think people are so impatient that... Oh, there's been a change, and they didn't explain it yet. I'm like, well, maybe fucking wait half an issue. This is issue one, cocksmoker.
Impatience is something, if you actually have that when you're reading comics, don't read monthly comics. Just read the trades. Just do that. Like, and then treat it like a season of TV, because that's typically how, like, people are impatient to watch week by week, so they watch on fucking Netflix. Just read the trades then.
That's the major problem.
Yeah.
When people try to compare comic reading to TV watching is on TV you can get the whole season or you can watch it every week. At the comic you have to wait a whole month.
Yeah, I know, but ultimately what like
no,
I
was
to get your story, yeah.
That's why I didn't think it was such a no-brainer for people to jump into comics from episodic TV, but
yeah.
Number five, say something negative about our heroes.
Hmm?
What are we talking
what does
about?
That mean?
I don't know, let's see.
There is a picture of Superman.
We're talking
so
about the godlike quality that surrounds certain people in the comic book industry. Oh, well this isn't true. Comic book fans don't get mad if you say something negative about the people who actually created the comics. They get mad if you argue that the people who created the comics should get some kind of compensation instead of Superman. If you talk about how Jack Kirby should be getting... It should say Jack Kirby's The Avengers, not fucking Marvel's The Avengers. Then stupid people go, no, it's not me. Jack Kirby was right behind me.
And how much fucking bile and venom has been spat to... Alan Moore.
Yeah, because comic book fans all of a sudden got all butthurt because Alan Moore was saying how he doesn't really want to write comics that much anymore because he's done with them. And they're like, we fucking love them. Fuck you, old man. I'm like, well, he's still one of the great... Fuck off. Still
that's one of the weirdest
man.
Attitudes ever to have towards someone who has provided you with hours of countless entertainment. Someone who everyone who reads comics has read an Alan Moore comic and everyone kind of is on the same page understanding that he's one of the best writers of all
time. I wish
time.
They
and
were.
Like,
people,
and people are really
cool.
Shitty about him, but people are really, you know, I even went through a period where I was like, rant about Alan Moore, and then totally went, wait a minute, what the fuck am I babbling about? Like, he's made some of the greatest comics of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a genius.
Yeah, he's
like
a grumpy
him.
Old man, but so what?
I admire
awesome.
The fact
like,
that he sticks to his guns.
Tyler Wilson is a grumpy old man. I love him.
Yeah.
Number four is the first one that I think is actually legitimate, that actually does piss me off. Women in refrigerators.
What?
Women in refrigerators is a term that was coined by Gail Simone, And it refers to an issue of Green Lantern comics.
I love Gail Simone.
Where Kyle Rayner opens his fridge and finds his girlfriend's been murdered and like stuffed into the fridge into a weird position. And basically what it's talking about is that female characters becoming disposable plot devices. So they get killed in increasingly horrific ways, and they serve no other purpose in that death other than to motivate the hero, the man, to go off and get some revenge or save the day. So it happens so much in comics where there's the prop girl who gets killed and the big strong man has to go off and save the day. Not just comics, TV, movies,
yeah,
everything. And it's one of the most frustrating and irritating tropes in the entire world.
I remember that was my reason for not watching more of Hell on Wheels, because Hell on Wheels, just the concept of it was so trite and just... I gotta go avenge someone raped my wife and killed her. Now I gotta find... And like it was totally just a revenge story because his wife, who doesn't even get, like... That character doesn't even get given any sort of actual FaceTime. She's just kind of a concept that he's chasing after because someone did him wrong by killing his woman. And I was like, I don't... Okay, whatever. Anyway.
So, this one... Number three is perceived diversity for the sake of diversity. So I'm 100% with Newsram on this one. It doesn't piss me off, but they're right that comic book fans, one of the reasons I think that the individual comic book readers are cool, but fandom as a whole is one of the biggest shit heaps in the fucking universe. Like, when they announced, oh, we're going to make the new Green Lantern gay, everyone's like, what? You fuckers! You're going to take the Golden Age Green Lantern, a character that none of us had ever read about and don't care about at all, and you're going to make him gay? What about his rich heritage that we don't know about? So, and for some reason they think that, like, oh, they're only trying to make more minorities because people say there aren't enough of them. No shit, Sherlock! Yeah. The fact that there aren't very many minorities in comic books is a bad thing, you fuckhead.
Yeah.
It would be, I agree with you, it would be great if someone would create characters who were black, or Jewish, or gay, and the news story wasn't, GAY! The news story was, COMIC!
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen unless it starts to be actually part of the norm. So if somebody actually makes a fucking effort to appeal to someone other than fat white people, and we just go, well, you're just doing it to pander. Oh, you're a fat piece of shit.
I love the...
Go
I
home
love the,
and kill yourself.
The concept that it's pandering when, like, white people are not the majority of, like, race on this fucking
planet. No, but they
planet,
are the majority
but, like,
of rich people who have disposable income and comics are expensive. Honestly, I'm not even joking right now. If you have ever said they're just doing it for the sake of diversity for the sake of diversity, go the fuck home and kill yourself right now. I will fucking come and...
I'm just kidding.
I will Kevorkian in that shit for you.
I remember
I will
were
hold
doing
your
that
hand
when,
as you pass off gently into that good night.
I remember when...
That's very nice.
When Bendis announced Miles Morales and people got all butthurt because they were just like, oh, you're just doing it because there's a black president now. It's like, then why the fuck can't Spider-Man... What? Why does it even matter? What the fuck?
Fuck
it just
you.
Has to be a kid. Why can't it just
why
be
are
a
you
black
such a,
kid?
What
yeah, matters?
Why do you care?
What
does
like,
it damn it.
Matter?
Now I have no one to relate to in my comic books. Yeah, you're right. You're right, now that there's a black Superman, or rather, now that there's a black Spider-Man in
black
an alternate
Superman
universe
yeah, in an alternate
that is
universe.
Separate from the other Spider-Man.
I can see people freaking out if Bendis was like, okay, so the new Bendis, or the new Bendis, the new Spider-Man is going to be a jar of peanut butter dressed up like Spider-Man.
I would say, let's
go,
wait.
What? Write that. What?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
I would start buying up with Spider-Man. But just the idea
well,
that, like,
stupid.
Oh,
what?
Well, we can't make that. They can't make that character that. Well, there's six other books where he's not. Plus... The idea in my head is when the people are like, what? They can't change the ethnicity of my character. Now who am I going to relate to as a white man in comics? You're right. Now that
there's
one
no
minor
left.
Character is black, there's no one left, really. I mean, unless you count Superman and Batman and Green Lantern and The Flash and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Hawkeye. Captain
I can't
America,
relate to the King of Atlantis.
Wolverine. All of the X-Men except for Bishop. Right?
And
Cage, the
and
X-Men
Cage.
Are a fucking metaphor and analogy for... minorities in oppression, and they're all fucking white except for Nightcrawler, who's blue. And Storm, I guess, is like
Luke
brown.
Cage.
She's like mulatto or something. Can you say mulatto?
I think that's an okay
Isn't
word.
That an ice cream
I've
thing?
Always kind of wondered if that's a bad word.
I don't think so. I don't know
if that's their word.
Like, I think
know?
Mulatto is like a mixed breed. Like it's like a
it's
like
a mixed
breed. It's like in Harry Potter where one of your
it's
parents
like a
is
mud
magic.
Blood.
I thought mudblood was when both your parents were muggles.
No, mudblood is if you have any muggle blood.
If you have any muggle blood
okay.
in you, you are a mudblood.
But a half-breed...
smart.
Which is actually, let's think about that word for a second. That word's kind of fucked up. That's
mud
an
blood?
Mud blood. That's fucked up.
That's a fucking weird
word. I get it.
That's
kind of
fucking hateful.
Well, I mean,
I know.
I think it's.
I'm not being like.
Say it,
I'm not saying. Oh, JK. That's kind of. No, I mean like.
It's kind of like saying like. Oh, Jesus, nigger. That's kind of hateful. It's like, yeah. It
no, no. I'm. It's funny because like people now in popular culture it's just like mud blood. It's like nah. It's actually kind of a fucked up word when
it's
you think
funny
about
you
it.
Say
like,
filthy mud blood.
You feel. Oh, that's even.
Sometimes I do.
That's just redundant.
It's a double negative.
Blood. Your
so
blood
good.
Is super
no, I
dirty,
your
muddy.
Your blood is filthy. I said you are filthy and you are a mudblood.
If
you are a filthy
if you
mud
have
blood.
Filthy mud blood.
Like, you can be a mudblood and still be, like, well-kempt.
If I called you a muddy mudblood, that just means I'm calling you blood.
Yeah, no, a muddy mudblood just means that you're a mudblood who has been out playing in the dirt.
Mudblood. 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 Mudblood.
It's a Dougal negative.
Well, anyway, my point is that... Fuck anyone.
Get to the point, you mudblood now.
Number two, Deus Ex Machina. I didn't like Ex Machina that much.
Either. I loved Ex Machina.
I don't really care about Deus Ex Machina that much because, I mean, I'm reading a comic book. So, yes, when something shows up at the very end, like, conveniently
solves
all the problems. I mean, we should just call it Fringe because that's pretty much how it happens in every episode of Fringe.
Yeah. I like
it. It's always just like, oh, man. We could solve this problem if only we had a device that could do this specific thing. Well, luckily, in 1974, I designed just such a device. Well, that was convenient. Yes.
I'm on acid.
Well, let's go get it. All right.
Let's go get it.
Well, good thing we had that thing. Yes, it was. And I still like Fringe. But
John Noble on that show is amazing. John Noble's the best part of that show. It's not even
it
close.
It is, but still, every episode I was just like, seriously, he happened to create a device that could talk to pigeons? Okay.
What?
You know, is that a real thing?
I think something like that. If only we could know what these birds saw. Well, luckily.
I played a game of Would You Rather with one of my students today, and I thought it was actually a pretty good Would You Rather. It was, would you rather be a fish who couldn't stop burping or a bird who couldn't stop farting?
I thought you were going to say a bird who couldn't stop fishing. Bird, though.
Who couldn't bird. Stop fishing.
Like a British lady who likes to sit on the docks with a...
I just can't get
I got
up.
Paid to just like hang out with this
honestly,
like 8-year-old kid and him and I did stupid would you rathers. It was really
that's
fun.
Awesome. Honestly though, bird who can't stop farting. Yeah, 100%. Farting's awesome.
Farting's awesome. It's like really relaxing. Plus you get to fly.
Yeah.
So, you know.
See,
well, I agree. Okay.
Here's the thing though about the Trump card situation though. Like fanboys generally love Star Wars, right? Which is a trilogy based on a fucking Trump card in itself. The Force is the... It's a...
It's,
well, what,
no,
what are we going to do?
The
Force got... The
Force
worry.
Is like the
like
sonic screwdriver of Doctor
yeah.
Who, but it's not a Deus Ex Machina in that you don't get to the end of the movie...
Yeah, fair enough.
...and realize that... What are we going to do? Well, the Force... That never happens in any of Star Wars movies.
That was
you
my favorite.
That absolutely happens in
that.
A New Hope.
No,
like,
really.
Oh,
we missed
the little hole, and then Luke's like...
No,
this.
Because they spent the entire movie building up the fact that Luke Skywalker was strong in the Force and could use it.
Fair.
We're talking about getting to the end, like we're all dead, and Reed Richards pulls out like a magical device that we haven't heard about yet. Or Batman goes, "Good thing I have my shark repellent bat spray in my utility belt."
Yeah,
you know, where it's like the day is saved by something improbable. It's just like a lazy writing thing, but
yeah.
I don't think that the MacGuffin is a problem necessarily, because the Force is basically a MacGuffin in all Star Wars movies.
Or you mean after six entire seasons, they were dead the whole time. The island was just purgatory. That's my loss.
That's not a Deus Ex Machina.
Spoiler.
It's just stupid.
See, the thing is
not
that
stupid,
it would have been a Deus Ex Machina if the ending of Lost solved anything. But it didn't fucking solve anything. It was just
but
like
it didn't have to.
Train wreck.
Well, it kind of did. It's like... They're dead. Don't worry.
It's so funny because the only positive thing I can say about Lost is I loved Lost. And then whenever we talk about Lost, it's just me spewing negative shit about how it was a failure. It doesn't make any sense. But I still just have like an affinity for it. I still
That's
adore
funny.
It. It's
I
just
like
stupid.
Police Academy too. Okay, at number one, they're calling it meaningless deaths and disappearances. I take issue with this one because a lot of comic fans like to get all blustery and say they're mad when a character dies for no reason. But look at the sales bumps on every time an issue has a dead character.
If they
hate him so much, then quit fucking buying him.
Yeah, if killing off characters in any way, people were actually bored by it, then they'd stop doing that. They
it's
would,
the
like,
same people who say that event fatigue is killing comics. Well, obviously not, because you keep fucking buying events.
And plus,
I like you
like
guys.
Catwoman one? The Catwoman death
the
in JLA. The next issue,
it.
She's back, and it was explained in, like, page 3. Of
yeah,
course.
She wasn't
there. It was a cliffhanger.
That was
the
a
end
case
of
being
yeah.
impatient once
she was
again.
Yeah, absolute impatience. Like, that one pissed me off, actually, that people got all uppity about
well,
that.
We should add that to the list, then. Things that piss comic fans off.
Comic fans. Number one thing that pisses off comic fans is comic fans.
No. Number one thing that pisses this table of comic fans off is other comic fans. But after my rant about diversity, let's talk about a comic about a blind guy.
A blind white guy who's a fucking lawyer.
He's still blind. Let me have this.
Actually, at the end, he's like, I've got no money.
I'm a poor white guy who's
I got no money. Oh, he's not deaf.
Money.
I was thinking like the greased up deaf guy.
I got no money. I'm Daredevil. I'm not Daredevil.
Don't
I'm Matt Murdock.
I'm talking about Daredevil.
Mark Waid. Javier Rodriguez.
Brother of Robert Rodriguez from Sin City and El Mariachi.
El Mariachi.
No.
So
you
yes.
did.
Yes.
You're a maker-upper. That's what they call people like you.
A maker-upper.
A maker-upper.
I'm an upper maker.
Friend.
You didn't see it, but we just shook hands.
And then we touched bellies.
And I smelt my hand. It smelled like Joey's hand.
You guys should unravel your dicks and talk about this comic book.
That's me sucking.
Go, gadget penis.
When you put your penis away, it sounds like a tape measure being rolled back up.
You put it away.
I put my penis away. Right
your
up dick.
That's what my car
of
sounded
of
like
flat,
last month.
What your what?
Dick reminds me of a 2006 Sebring.
Yo, we're Sebros. I have
we're
a Sebring.
Sebring.
More Sebros.
Like, awesome.
All right.
So this book is about Daredevil.
It was good.
It was very, very good.
It was so good.
I love Javier Rodriguez as
what
a villain.
Which thing.
The best thing about this book is that there's rarely a villain because Chris Samney's awesome. But when there's a villain, it's Javier Rodriguez who's the colorist most of the time, anyways. So he's very
he does
like,
the colors in this again, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's such a good colors, and he has such a good feel for the book in the first place that it fits so well. Like everything works. This is kind of a continuation of what happened in the court, where the judge
part
at the
of that
end
weird
of last
cult,
month, yeah, the Serpent Society, which is the white supremacist,
the Snake Club,
and they shoot the guy who used to bully Matt Murdock as a child, and it's kind of just the wrap up to this, but it's really
it was
really
so
cool.
I love this book. This
happened,
was like
yeah.
the courthouse under siege.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
This book is totally in the Marvel camp for. Now having the Captain America virus, where like when Brew was writing Captain America, like every month it was like, yep, it was amazing again. Mm-hmm. What else can we really say about it? Mm-hmm. Daredevil is always amazing. It's consistently
this is
one of
usually
the best books.
Usually one of the best books of the month.
It's
when like every month if I took all my books I bought in 1 month, this would be usually top 3.
It's in the top.
You know,
like,
what'd be number
5
one?
Superhero books. Hawkeye would be number 1 for
yes.
you. Yeah.
And for everyone.
Of superhero books, so
if you don't
it's
agree
easily,
with me.
It's always excellent.
But it's just such a cool story about how he gets away from all these people who are, they're on the take from the Serpent Society.
I
want to
be on
and
the
then,
take sometime.
I know. I'll take you on a journey. And anyway, and then like at the end, there's a bomb, and it's just like an escalating series of, oh shit, which is cool. And then at the end, it wraps up nicely. And he still kind of gets this guy back a little bit
mm-hmm.
in a weird way because he's not really been nice to this guy because the guy was a prick to him when they were children and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's got a little cool cliffhanger here where somebody's in his office and he says, may I help
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. And then I also really love the tagline at the end just saying the Silver Surfer is
yeah,
the next
yeah.
storyline.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
That'll
be
great.
That'll be excellent.
You know what's rad? Norrin rad.
And,
Did you get that joke?
No,
I got it. It's his name. That's Silver Surfer's
name. Silver Surfer's
name.
Oh, okay.
It is a pretty rad joke.
You're a funny guy.
Did you guys...
I love you.
I have a Norrin radiator in my car.
All right. You went one too far.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I
You fucked it up.
You weren't reading this book.
No. I read, like, 2 issues.
Did
Which
you
one are we talking about?
The conclusion of Batman Incorporated.
I liked it.
It was so good.
It was good.
The Batman
now, is
punch
there
people?
Actually like another like a special after this or?
Yeah, it's a special, but it's not. Grant Morrison has nothing to do with it. It's like Van Sciver.
Really?
Yeah, it's just mini. It's just mini stories. Like,
oh, like wrapping up all the other characters.
Yeah,
no, I'm okay with that.
Short
I'm
stories of all the other characters. I don't even know if it's going to be wrapping them up so much as just telling cool short stories. Epilogues would be cool, but I know like Van Sciver's doing one. Obviously, Chris Burnham. I forget all the other names.
You know, I used to listen to Around
Comics,
which was
the
a
right
really
one.
Good comics podcast back in the day.
That's right.
And Chris Burnham used to show up a lot on it. And every time, like, they had this bell that he would ring every time he plugged one of his books. It was called the Burnham Bell. So then it just became the thing that no matter who was on the show, if they started talking about their book and plugging their own work, they had to ring the Burnham Bell.
The Burnham Bell. That's so funny.
And I always thought that was great.
What was this show called?
It was called Around Comics. And it's... I think they do it monthly now, but it used to be weekly. And it... The best years ever when it was Chris Neesman, who's on 11 O'Clock Comics now, and a guy named Sal, who was also pretty good. I don't know what he does
11
now.
O'Clock.
Tom Caters, who has done some really great solo podcasts.
Sal,
and then there was, for a long time, Scotty Young was on the show. And the best years were the ones where Scotty Young was there, too. But, you know, the show's a lot different now, and most of them do different shows. But back when I used to listen to a lot of comic pods, that was always the best one by far. Hmm. And the Burnham Bell was funny. And Mike Norton used to show up a lot, too.
I love Mike Norton. There was an ad in one of these for the fucking...
For Collider, and it has the wrong... It's a Collider, July 10th. It's in two
yeah, it's
different
been,
books, and I'm like, it's July 31st.
It's in a lot of the... It's in all the Vertigo books this month, actually.
Funny.
Oh, god damn. There was... There, here it is. Here it is, yeah. Some of the other names that are on the Batman Incorporated one-shot. There's Jason Masters, Dan DiDio, Jean-Paul Leon, yay! And Joe Keating. And other top talents.
I'm on it.
I like talents that are top.
Here's a big reveal. I'm a top talent.
You're a top dog.
I love hot dogs.
Have you guys ever watched Workaholics?
Yes. No.
Where he's got the Top Gun hat and he's like, I'm the Top Gun of sales. It's really funny. It's the whole episode about Blake has like a Sigourney Weaver like body double thing, and he's like, it's not a sex doll. It's fucking ridiculous. It's so funny though. I like that show.
That show's pretty funny.
I
rewatched
season 4 of The League, too. That's cool.
I finished season 4 of The League.
Oh, my God,
it's
amazing. So funny.
Yeah, it is pretty brilliant. I really love the way that Grant Morrison ties together just the Batman lore for the end about how Batman always gets back up. Batman always survives. Batman will always win, and he'll never end. And I like that last little bit. Batman never dies. The Batman never dies. It never dies. It probably never will. Which is true. Like... After we're all long gone, Batman will still be a character that people tell stories with. The epilogue, you're right. The epilogue was also very cool. I like that that Morrison's done his whole Batman run, but he basically just gave like stories to everyone else who's going to write Batman for a long time.
I mean,
and
it was a
like,
pretty
here,
obvious
here
one,
go.
But I thought, I'm like, yes, this is what I was thinking the whole time. Like,
yeah,
when is this
cool.
going to happen?
Super cool with Ra's. Ra's al Ghul, it's a game. I am very happy
clones?
That. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm really happy that they took that 1 month off and kind of extended Batman Inc. to 13 issues because Chris Burnham was kind of falling behind on the art, and a lot of my complaints with the book were the inconsistent artwork and that he wasn't actually drawing the whole books. So the last two have been all him, and then the one before that was the Batman of Japan storyline that he wrote, but someone else illustrated, so he got an extra month to catch up on these books. It was really important to me that he was going to be on the rest of the story, and I imagine it was really important to Morrison as well. And like to the
don't act like you
been,
know him, SA.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know him. I would have been
or do
I would have been really I would have been really disappointed had it been an army of artists. So I'm glad it was.
If it was an army, I thought that would be cool.
Like, and you got to witness the army actually draw, and
yeah.
Like and they were all sharing a pencil.
It was inking in this one.
Yeah.
I have nothing apart from my
you
favorite.
Man. I have nothing apart from my favorite.
I,
Can you, at least when you talk, try to form words?
Oh, yeah.
I feel the show works better when you have words.
Really? See, I think
it's like, no, it's
no.
I,
no,
it
really,
better.
Yeah, I feel it's really better when I just shut the fuck up.
Brian,
you're
my hero.
Can we do another list? That was fun.
You're
I don't
my
have any more right
hero.
Now. I'm I'm going to explain this to you after the show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Trust me, you're going to be happy.
Can I just do my Kermit the Frog impression again?
Hey,
go ahead.
I'm Kermit the Frog.
Wait a second, guys. What's happening? Hey,
now it's a breakdown. That's
right.
Oh, my goodness, everybody, take off your shirt. It's a favorite. Favorite.
My favorite. That's good, buddy.
Is it actually?
Yeah, it's. I'm happy for it.
Boo.
My favorite this week, guys, was from Vertigo. It was by Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy, and it was The Way
I read it.
Three.
It's so good.
So good. This reminded me of The Thing, which is one of my favorite movies ever. It was just kick-ass, scary monster fighting and killing and being scary, and it was actually scary and so good. And the whole idea that the monster can shoot these, like, toxins to fuck with your brain and
make you dream.
See things. And,
yeah.
Oh, the panel of, like, the monster that looks like her son coming up at her. So
it
cool.
Really cool. I also loved that one bit where the main girl is trying to rescue one of those dudes. And then she rips off his arm, and then it turns out that she was actually the monster the whole time. It's, the monster design is spectacular. Sean Murphy and Scott Snyder are
Scott Snyder writing horror comics is the best thing.
It's pretty good.
Like, Scott Snyder writing superhero comics is cool, and I like his Batman, but I like his horror comics infinitely more.
Oh, yeah. His American Vampire is one of the strongest comic books out there today. Like,
Severed was so good.
Amazing. Severed was amazing. I love this conceptually. Like, plus,
I like the Batman.
The last page is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it was
so
good.
Fucking cool.
There's a whole bunch of them now. It's scary.
I'm really glad to see. I also loved all the first chapters of each issue of The Wake, because it's a really cool, like, mystery. I have no real idea kind of what's happening. Like, you get little glimpses at it.
Idea,
yeah,
like, that creatures came from
aliens.
Space.
Like, yeah, but. Oh man, it's just really compelling like that. I loved it. And I also love the beginning of the second chapter where a cardinal is talking to her.
As we say, it's a cardinal. Because
it's super cool.
It's super cool that Vertigo is kind of coming back.
Alexis is on fire.
And all their stuff is.
I wish it was. It's like Alexis on fire. And it's that song. It's like, young cardinal.
Do you remember we used to call that band My Lexus is on fire because we thought we were really funny?
Alexis on fire. Oh, then, no, my Lex is on fire!
And then Dean Manning was like, oh, it's not. Because he drives a Lexus. That's a joke.
Can you
not? That's really inside baseball.
Old
holy shit.
That only the three of us know.
Whoa.
That's not inside baseball. That's like inside stalker.
Inside cricket.
And like an 80-year-old man who frequents a building we go to. That was like,
I go to there times.
I go to there. Everyone should be in on this joke.
I go to their work times.
Ronnie G, what was your favorite?
My favorite was also from Vertigo. It was number one, Collider.
When was the last time that two Vertigo books were
right? When
Vertigo?
Was the last time that two fucking Vertigo books came out in 1 week?
I was going to say
probably
like
last
week.
Ago,
yeah. When was last week? Yeah.
No, there was a time where they were only coming out with like three books.
Well, didn't like Tom Strong come out? Isn't that Vertigo?
Tom Strong came out today.
That came out
or yesterday as well. I didn't get it.
I think that's a Vertigo book as well.
Yeah.
So now there's three.
It's a mini series, but it's one that they're not really pushing and that no one seems to be talking about. No one really cares about.
Yeah, they're kind of pissing the way.
They definitely are. This was one that they announced over a year and a half ago. They said it was the big, or not the big, it's a Vertigo book. Nothing's really big apart from Sandman. But, it was the return of Simon Oliver to Vertigo since The Exterminators. And then he also did, for that Vertigo crime line, the short-lived Vertigo crime line, which actually pumped out some like amazing books.
They did. Yeah, it wasn't that short. It was last for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Noche Roja.
That was
I'm
good.
Not pronouncing that correctly. But it was very good, that Simon Oliver book. And I forget who did it, the art.
Was it Jason Latour? No.
I think it was Jason Latour, actually.
Really? I'd be so happy if I was right.
Or unless
I'm gonna
he
look
did.
It up.
Unless he. Anyway. They announced this forever ago, and then Vertigo kind of started going under, and there was like maybe two or three books being produced there. And
it
just,
was Jason Latour.
Was it? Good job.
Good.
And they just never really mentioned Collider again. And then I remember on Twitter,
I tweeted at Mark Doyle asking what happened about Collider, hoping to get an answer, and he actually responded. He was like, no, it's actually coming out in the fall of 2013. And it totally did, and it was amazing. I really loved this. This is one of the more clever, unique titles coming out. It's about this the Federal Bureau of Physics. It's a super cool sci-fi universe where there are these strange wormholes kind of opening up in the galaxy and all these interesting sort of anomalies based on the physics of Earth. So there's something at its core.
We call the universe a new space hole already.
Something at the core of reality that's kind of going all wonky to the point where there's a government-sanctioned task force to deal with it now. And it reminded me of Exterminators, obviously because, you know, it's Simon Oliver, but it's very, like, blue-collar, really, really relatable guy who just happens to be working for the FBP. Like, just like in the Exterminators, it was just some Joe guy who was just an exterminator but ended up being involved in this crazy, mythological, labyrinthian book. You'd like the Exterminators a lot. It's really, really cool. It gets so complicated. It's ridiculous how complicated it gets. But Robbie Rodriguez's pencils in this book are beautiful. Really, really cool to look at. They remind me of Trad Moore a lot. Like, really lanky. Everyone's very lanky. Everyone's, like, a lot of jagged edges. A lot of...
Sorry, I didn't mean that to happen.
Yeah.
They just announced that on Sunday there's going to be a special video announcing the 12th Doctor, because he has been cast.
Cool. Also,
I'm going to give you guys the inside scoop here.
It's Chris Hardwick.
It's me.
Do you?
Chris Hardwick would not be a good Doctor.
Idris Elba. He should just be everything, and he's British,
he should be.
You know.
The character design of the main character's FBP outfit with his cool... Like, it looks like, what was that old shitty Nintendo thing that made people go blind?
Virtual Boy.
The Virtual Boy. It looks like one of those. It's a really unique book, a really exciting book. I hope people, I hope it actually sells a lot, because the last like three ongoing series of Vertigo that came out that I thought were really unique and really cool were like Saucer Country and, what was the other one that actually just got canceled? Or Dominic Laveau only lasted like 7 issues. Saucer Country got canceled at like 16. So I'm hoping that this one
Fables,
sticks around for a long time.
No.
Simon Oliver's last Vertigo book only lasted 30 when it was initially solicited for 50. It got canceled. So I'm hoping this one sticks around. Beautiful front cover. This is a number one that... I hope Vertigo starts throwing out new number ones like Images and really, really like harnessing really, really great talent. And Vertigo's always been my favorite imprint, and this is a really exciting new book that I would highly suggest everyone reading.
I like Fables.
To be the new Doctor?
Who do I want to be the new Doctor?
Yeah, I was just looking at a list of some of the people who are considered in the running, according to people who set odds for these things. Apparently bookies in London are actually setting odds on different people.
Really? But don't they generally cast like unknowns? Like not unknowns,
no,
but like lesser knowns.
I mean, not like superstars.
Yeah, like they won't be like any of Britain's hottest actors.
No, it's not going to be Benedict Cumberbatch, although so many people think he'd be good, and I'm like,
that's so obvious.
He would, yeah, he'd just be playing another version
he'd
of Matt
Smith. Just be Sherlock,
so.
Yeah. I would be super cool. There was a bunch. We had this conversation.
What I led you for would be good.
Yeah. Do you think in our lifetime they'll ever cast a female Doctor Who?
I would be think that'd be awesome. I think Olivia
really cool.
Colman would be a fantastic Doctor.
Who's that?
Do you remember in Hot Fuzz the girl who was always making all the double entendres?
Oh my God, she would be so good.
Yeah,
she would be the best.
She'd be really good. And she's on like Mitchell and Webb constantly, and she was in Broadchurch, and she was fantastic in that show.
That's super
who's
cool.
Who's the girl that your girlfriend always shows me that's on Coronation Street with the big
He's miming
boobs.
Large breasts.
I don't know what her name is, but she
Hang
should
on.
Be Doctor. She could be Doctor Boob.
Large breasts. Coronation Street.
I can't remember what her name is.
Vicky Binns.
No, Michelle Keegan. There we go.
Oh, well, that worked out nicely. All right. Let's see here.
Big bouncing boobs.
This is literally a YouTube video called Michelle Keegan Big Bouncing Boobs. Oh, she sneezed on the guy's face. How? What a thing to happen.
Have you ever watched Coronation Street? It's ridiculous. No. It's so funny.
Is it? I don't know. It's just pretty. It's just
real
like
here. Is this your daughter? Mm-hmm.
She should be Doctor Who.
No,
she
should. By the numbers.
Wow. Cool.
Ryan, what was your favorite while I'm looking at these pictures?
Do you have it in here? So I can.
Oh, yeah, it's at the bottom.
Okay. Thank
right
you.
Above. It's in your bottom.
Oh.
Right above Angel and Faith, which I still read because I'm retarded.
Oh, sorry, I messed up your stack there. I'm really sorry. My it's favorite was a book called.
Eating all your snacks.
Few.
By Matt Fraction and Michael Allred and Laura Allred. Starring Matt Fraction and Michael Allred, and not Laura Allred, but Tom Brevoort.
I want an older doctor.
This is really cool.
Sorry, I'm totally not going to listen to anything
that's
you're
fair.
Saying, because I'm just
fair.
Looking at Doctor Who stuff
in
now.
Fact, everybody's turned this off by now.
I want an older doctor.
Except for our favorite comic book writer, Justin Hags.
Yay!
Who liked my sex stories last week, by
the
way.
Yes. Who wouldn't?
Wow. The
girl who was in them,
your mom. The girl.
Your grandparents.
The two, like, not crazy, but just, like, the two sex stories I have. The other ones are like, I had sex, I came.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we almost made it through a whole episode of Ryan's ejaculate, but, oh well.
You knew it wouldn't
There's
happen.
Always next week.
His immaculate ejaculate.
This book is the best ever, other than Hawkeye.
This was a
this
really
is my second favorite Marvel book now.
Yeah.
But more, this is past Daredevil. Just because it's so much fun. I love Allred. I love Fraction.
Awesome.
And this is like a quirky Fraction book. It's like the Zoe Deschanel of Marvel books.
Oh,
but not
that
annoying.
That just makes me hate
not
it.
Not annoying. But no, but this one has Doctor Doom. Not just like skirts for no reason.
I liked it. There was, like, I dug all the jokes and stuff with Fraction
and
Brevoort and
Mike Allred.
Mike Allred actually being in the FF universe, and they're wandering around and they're going to write the comic about the FF, but they've, like, I've read that story before. I don't know. It was cute and it was funny. This was inside baseball. Like, if you have never watched a YouTube video with Tom Brevoort in it, then you'd be like, who the fuck is this clown and why is he hitting Matt Fraction with his hat? Like,
is that what he does a lot?
He wears a hat.
Yeah, that's...
Oh.
Yeah.
I just love how Matt Fraction keeps swearing the entire time. Like, and then later it's like, this guy writes an all-ages comic book?
I don't know why I thought it was goofy, but I actually did enjoy it.
I just love how Darla Deering's publicist just looks like Vincent Price as well.
Yeah,
really
he
fun.
Totally does.
But, like, this is just such a fun story, and, like, with a kind of a dark subplot about Alex Power basically being told by Dr. Doom to kill the old Johnny Storm.
There's some crazy...
I also just... I just love the Doom out.
Yeah.
Or Doom is many things, Alex Power, but crazy is not one of them, and you're wrong. But, anyway...
There's some crazy cosmic Kirby shit.
And it's not even cosmic because it's just they're flying around dust.
Yeah, I know.
That's like the best part with like this out of nowhere kind of thing about how these two kids from the FF whose name I can't remember, but they just like smuggle a tiger with them.
Yeah, that's
on
funny.
This tour of dust particles. And we get Maximus the Mad.
This is my favorite Allred issue, I think.
Yeah,
this and the one where they were fighting with Blastar or whatever.
Yeah.
That was
awesome
really,
too.
Because really
Blastar was just super Kirby Dog. Yeah. Maximus Matt is in New Avengers right now, right? Isn't he the one that's building the machine for Black Bolt? Or is that some?
I can't remember.
I feel
there's
like it
so
is,
many books in every Jesus.
And
you guys are nerds.
Books. Speaking of Matt Fraction's writing an Inhumans book. Yay.
What?
Yeah.
I want to read that.
It's one of like the Infinity Fallout books.
But I'm totally buying
it. I think
it
I did know that actually.
Black Bolt.
You did because we talked about it.
But I just love how. It's summed up later, and Matt Fraction, the character Matt Fraction, says, I don't know, man, it's kind of weak. I mean, we almost got killed by a macro-micro tiger, but didn't. It's like the perfect way to encapsulate what happens in this. I don't know, I just like it.
I like Fraction stuff.
None
that's,
of us said
that
you were wrong. I just like it. None of us were
because
like,
because
I
liked
it.
No,
better.
I feel really like I can't describe
no,
how much I love this.
Fine.
Because I think I should just be able to be like Mike Allred
so
and people will be like, ah, oh, that's
yeah,
like,
I get
that's
it.
Amazing. Because he's so fucking good, guys.
Matt Fraction's one of the luckiest writers of all time.
He gets
the best
artist.
Do you guys want to do one last little fun list?
Yeah. Matt Fraction gets the best artist and
five movies that improved the book according to the author.
Did you
the Mist, No, because the ending of The Mist is the reason that
the ending
movie
of the Mist
sucks.
Is retarded.
It would be great if the gunshot cut to black. That'd be fine. But gunshot followed by ridiculous fog clearing for no reason is stupid.
I actually like the ending.
That's stupid. Fight Club. I actually, the only part
of the
Fight
Club
movie that I like.
The movie is better.
Yeah. The only thing I actually like in the movie Fight Club is the ending when the city's falling apart.
That's
cool.
That's the only. I like that movie. I love that book. But the ending of. The ending of the book is stupid.
Could have used a different song during that scene, though.
No!
Yes, you know why? Just picture that scene, and instead of like, where is my. Instead of that, might as well jump!
No, no. Okay, I got a better one. Imagine everything's. You met me at a very strange time in my life.
And then he just starts chasing her. He's like, I'm gonna get you. And like, grab her butt.
And then, like, some buxom women run out for no reason and look around. And okay, Interview with the Vampire. I've never
watched that.
I just like the tagline here. Anne Rice wrote vampire fuck fiction back when it was cool. Or if you prefer, Anne Rice wrote vampire fuck fiction back when it was still cool. Okay, number two. Agatha Christie, the playwright, hated Agatha Christie, the novel. What does that even mean?
Fuck Agatha Christie.
What?
What's this list?
This is supposed to be movies that improved the book, according to the author. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And then finally, Blade Runner. No, that's not true.
You don't
book,
I
it's
love
a
that
great
movie,
movie
I
but
love
it,
that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
The book
it's
is
great.
Completely
it's
different.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love that book.
It definitely made Philip K. I mean, Philip K. Dick died before it even came out, but he thought he really, really, really liked it. But also, it meant that Dick became a really, like, bankable name again. Anyway,
well,
that was just for...
Sex
just
sells,
for
right?
Tables.
You said Dick is bankable.
I did. Well, that's all for this week in a slightly short episode of the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. We will be back... I will not be back next week. I'll be gone. So you guys have to earn on your own.
Will
so
I
I'll
be?
Have to discuss how you're going to get me the pod so I can upload it.
Well, hopefully. Well... We'll hopefully record something.
We'll record
yeah.
it
if there's a
by
pod,
yelling
great.
Into a jar and closing them.
Yeah.
Did I make that joke once?
You did,
yeah. But all the recording equipment is here.
Is here.
And
my computer won't be.
We'll
we
see.
Might be
there
dark
might.
Next week. We'll see. But if we'll definitely
we're
be back.
But if we're dark next week, it's just because we have to have some diversity
just
on our show.
We can record it on my phone. I'm not joking. Yeah. We probably could.
So yeah, we might not be here next week, but we'll for sure be back the week after. I'm away for work next week, so I won't be able to record. So
where are you going? Okay.
To that guy's house that you mentioned.
I don't want our listeners to like show up and want me to hang out.
Tell me after. I should ask that question for a bit.
All right. Well, that's all for this week. I'm Joey G.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kermit. Hey.
And I'm Mr. What? I forget my landlord.
Mr. Hurley Whirly.
I'm Mr. Hurley Whirly. I hope
right.
you enjoyed the show.
And I'm Mo. Hey. Let's go shave that neck beard.
Yeah.